the unexpected. That's what you're looking for. While many people were sleeping, coming up last Friday morning, there was a spaceship that was going out. All you could have seen, possibly, if you were following up into the sky with these huge microscopes, was just a blue streak that's going up. But it reached the atmosphere on Friday of a planet called Ceres. In fact, it was launched 7.5 years ago. Next slide. It was launched 7.5 years ago, and we're going to see that 30,000 miles away, it was there. 3.1 million miles from the Earth. Can you imagine that? Where were you 7.5 years ago? Don't answer that question. Some of you might not have been in the world, but probably all of this group was. But think about it. Two images that came in by NASA that we're looking at. This was really the first reconnaissance of an entirely new world. Think about the excitement of that. If you were approaching into a new world. Some of us are experiencing much of what's happening. In fact, everything we're seeing, they said, was unexpected. Back up a slide. In this picture that we're going to be looking at, we're going to be thinking about, the further away you get from God, the more life is troubled. The closer you get to God, the more life is what? Transformed. Now, this is really true. The closer you get, God is going to be transforming your life. We're seeing that. And God will transform you as much today. But there's some unexpected things that's going to happen. In fact, Jesus told a story about a man with two sons. Well, why don't we just listen to the story this way?
A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? I will go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came unto his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry.
Can you imagine that? What would it have been like? You're sitting right there with Jesus. And he told stories. And when he told stories, there was power behind it. Because you knew where he was coming from. And in fact, it was so real that many of you could relive that story. Yes, it was unexpected. But you were reliving that story because it's touched you. Let me just test your mind a little bit. Do you remember, was it the oldest son or the youngest son that asked for the inheritance? It was the youngest son. There you go. You're good. And when he began to ask for it, he said, Father, give me. Does that sound just a little bit familiar? Give me what's coming my way. So many times people were saying, Lord, just let it all. Give me, Father, just give me what's coming my way. Who's it centered around? Centered around, the younger son didn't care about the father. The younger son didn't care about the brother. The younger son didn't care about all the preparation that had been put into that. The younger son cared about only one person. He cared about him. He says, give it to me. All that which is going to be divided unto me. And I want it. And when do I want it? Now. I want it and give it to me right now. Amazing thing. The father loved this guy so much that he divided up his possessions. Normally you get an inheritance when what? When somebody dies. But this boy wanted it and he wanted it right now. Does that sound a little bit like some people you might know? And he did it. So the interesting thing about this young brother is he took it and he got it all together. He gathered it all up and he went to a foreign country. I want to get just as far away from mom and dad as I can get. And that's what he did. He had the resources in his pocket. He was full of money. And he took off. And he went into this foreign country. But what did he do? Did he invest it? No, he didn't invest it. Wild living, wine, women, and boy, and all that goes with it. This young guy, he was what we'd say, living the life. Used to say Riley, but I don't know if that anybody understands that anymore. But he was living this special life right here, and he was wasted, and it said he wasted it on prodigal living. This is all found in Luke chapter 15, and I'm just reading you verses 12. You heard it word for word there. But all of a sudden, he wasted it all, and because there were some things that he had control over. His father gave him the money, right? He put that in his pocket. He had control of it. As long as it was his, he could do what he wanted to do with it. But he made a decision. He decided to spend it in prodigal living. I looked up that word prodigal. Do you know what the word prodigal means? Anybody? Prodigal means wasted. Wasted. Wasted living. That's what the word means. I always wondered about that word prodigal. So it was wasted living. Rather than investing his life in making God and honoring God, he was centered it around self. He invested all the money. But you know what? You can make decisions, but you can't change the consequences. He made a decision to go in and live that life. He had control over that, but notice the second thing he didn't have control over. He didn't have control over what was going to happen. Circumstances. And the circumstances happened that there was this massive famine that came on and there was no money in the land. And when the money was gone, the friends were gone. So what was this guy to do? This guy had blown it. No money, no food. Scripture says he was hungry. So he went out and he joined himself to the land. Joined himself, he hired himself out as a servant. And he was given the job to feed the pigs. Now, folks, I don't know if you know about history of the Jews, but they had nothing to do with the pigs. Pigs were abomination. They didn't eat them. They didn't mess with him. So what was this guy give? This guy had lost his dignity. Sin had cut off his communication with his father. Sin, and now he's lost everything. And the only thing that he has to do with it, he's out there feeding the pigs. And it goes on to say right there in that verse that he was even hungry for the pigs' food. And I don't know about you guys, but if you get hungry enough, you'll eat almost anything. He could control the money, but he lost it. He couldn't control the circumstances, so he reaped the benefit from it. And now he lost his dignity, lost it all, and now he's gone off and sold himself. Well, what do? You know what sin does? Sin clogs up. Sin clouds the mind up, so that you can't see, you can't think, you can't hear, you can't understand. You want to make good decisions, but sin can shut off the pathway between you and God, and it can close heaven, it can make heaven like it's a solid state up there, and you seem like you can't get through. But the amazing thing about this young man, it says, when he came to his senses. You know what, I oftentimes wonder about young people. You know what, I believe young people are the smartest they've ever been. I really do. And I'm glad when they come to their senses. and they do. They do come to their senses. Many young people are struggling, and folks, you who've already been through the struggle, you need to help them. Many of you are going through struggles right now, and your mind is cloudy. Many of you, you may be having health issues. And with those health issues right now, you say, where's God? Or with work issues, I need to eat. God, I need you. So many times people have moved away from God. They need a way back. But the Scripture says, when he came to his senses. Now what did he do when he came to his senses? He did two things. One, he said, I'm going to go back home and I'm going to tell Father, I've sinned against God and I've sinned and I've wronged you. You know what that means? That means confession. That's what it does, confession. When we get honest with God, I'm going to go back home, I'm going to confess my sins to God, I'm going to go back to my Father, I'm going to make things right, because sometimes you need to go back to people that you messed up with, and you need to confess, and you need to make things right. I'm going to go back. Well, interesting thing happens. He rises up and leaves. But I want you to see the response of the Father. Now the response of the Father, when that came along, the Father saw him a long way out. You know what that must have meant? You suppose Father was looking for him? I wonder how many days that Father got up and looked down that long road. Just wanting, hoping, desiring, praying. And notice something else. When did the Father have compassion on the boy? Was it after he made his confession to the Father, or when he saw him a long ways off? You remember? Yeah, when he saw him a long ways off, before that boy ever said anything to the Father loved him and had compassion. And I can imagine that young boy when he was on his way back and he sees him running. He sees me. He knows me. And my Father came up so much, and he put his arms around me and he hugged me. But you know what? Something else that's interesting, that he listens to me. After the Father hugged the boy, he said, Father, I've sinned against God, and in your presence I've wronged you. By the way, when you sin, who do you sin against? That's right. When you lie, who do you sin against? Every sin that you commit is against God. Now what if I lied to Dawn? Who did I sin against? I sinned against God in the presence of Dawn. Isn't that amazing? My sin is not against God. Sin is not against Dawn. I've wronged her. That's iniquity. I've wronged her. But my sin is against God. I sin against God and in your presence. I'm no longer now worthy to be called your son. Just make me a hired servant. Sound like his voice has changed a little bit. But what did the Father do? Do you remember? The father stopped him right there and said, go get out the robe. The robe. You know what the robe might mean? You know, one day, as sinful as Troy's been, one day, Troy, you're going to go to heaven and they're going to put a white robe on you. And you're going to look across and you're going to see the Lord Jesus, and you know what the Lord Jesus is going to have a robe on too? But when you see the robe of the Lord Jesus, you're going to see bloodstain. Yours is going to be perfectly clean, but His is going to be bloodstained. Jesus Christ gave His blood for you and for me. Go put a robe on Him. And not only do you put a robe on the robe of righteousness, we put on the robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ, okay? The Father puts a robe on you so that when God looks down, I liked it what Arnie brought out in Sunday school this morning. He says God has a filtering system. That when God looks upon you, He doesn't see your sins. He sees His Son's righteousness. Robe Him. Not only that, do you remember what He put on His finger? A ring. It was a ring. A ring is a signet. A ring is something of beauty. A ring many rich people would wear. Some would wear it in their fingers, some would wear it in their noses. I don't know how that goes, but okay. But anyhow, they wore rings. But then He said, put a ring on His finger. That was like give Him a credit card. It was authority. Did you know what happened when you went back to the Father? You know what Jesus made out of you? He made you joint heirs with God. He made you joint heirs with Christ Jesus. When you went back to the Father, He put His authority in your hands. You're now one of His children. That's awesome! And look at His feet. He shod His feet. Only a couple of places do I find shoes being mentioned in the Bible. And one place is when God dressed Israel, He shod His feet with badger cloth, with the skin, possibly of a rabbit. He put shoes on His feet. Then something else I want you to see. When He got there, He told him to kill the fatted calf. What was that meaning? Let's party. You know what? Believers have a hard time partying. But that's what He said. Let's party. Now, I know way the world parties and the way Christians party might be two different ways, okay? Let's celebrate. Let's eat. Boy, I like that one. Let's eat. Let's bring out. And because why? Why do we want to celebrate? Why do Christians, why does the church need to say, folks, every time a lost person is saved, we need to do what? We need to celebrate. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. Let's rejoice. Let's get excited. When a child comes back, oh man, I don't know if you've lived long enough to see one of your children come back, but I have. And you talking about feeling good? You talking about your heart exploding? You talking about what God has done and giving you something to rejoice about? I've lived long enough to say, thank you, Jesus. We need to celebrate. Every one of us have tasted a little bit of this, of celebration. Church, we need to learn how to celebrate. Well, how do you get closer? How do you get closer? Let's just nail this thing. You can look at your bulletin right now and how does this thing, let's go to this next slide. Let's bring it up there real quick here. How do you get closer when God, because you see now that this son, in other words, if you're going to get closer, number one, you got to get fed up with my life. You got to get fed up with the way business is. When this young guy got fed up with eating with the pigs, he got ready to do something. You're not going to have transformation in your life unless you get fed up. He wasted it all. He had nothing. He was desperate. He was hungry. But he came to his senses. When you get fed up with life, then God says, I'm ready now. Too many people are walling with the hogs and say, this is all there is to life. Why do they say that? It's because their mind is cloudy. You understand? That's what sin does. Sin says to you, this is all there is to life. Sin will cloud your mind. But if you'll get fed up with it, man, something else will happen. Next slide. Second thing, you have to own up to sin. I've got to own up to my sin. It's not what my father did. It's not what somebody else did to me. It's not anything yet. I've got to own up to my senses. God, this is what I did. I received the money from my father. I went out and spent it. I wasted my life. I wasted my living. How many kids have we seen go off to college and wasted those years? Maybe parents are still paying for it. Wasted. How many of you, an employer, filled your life full with knowledge and you went off and wasted it? How many parents have loved their children in the household so much, gave them food and clothing and wiped their dirty, well, y'all understand what goes with diapers. I mean, how many parents have really done all these things and they turn around and they just waste their life away? Wasted. Folks, we have to own up our sins. We've got to own up. Your sins have separated you from God and hidden the face from you. That's what God said in Isaiah. So, but when you come to your senses, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. If we will get honest and own up, that's what we got to do. You got to own up to it. What did He say? He said, I've sinned against God and in your sight, Father, but I sin against God. Next slide. After that, you offer up myself. The son drifted away when he said, give me. But when he came back, you know what the boy said? Make me a servant. A big difference, isn't it? Give me. It's all about me. Now, Father, it's all about you. That's what happens when you come back. Because God is merciful to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice unto God. Next slide. When that occurs, then you lift up praise. Lift up praise. Folks, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate with a feast of eating and celebrate the drinking. My son was lost and now he's found. So the party now begins. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? You really got to reach that point and say, I'm fed up. Are you fed up, church? Some people are working and so close to God, but we really need to reach that point by being fed up with some stuff. Hey, I'm going to check your mind. sometimes I get dirty, all right? This is my dirty moment. How many of you want to live longer? Would you just nod your head? Okay, all right. How many of you sang all the songs this morning? Okay. Those that sang all the songs this morning are going to live longer. You might say, well, wait a minute, I don't like to sing. Okay, you shorten your life. Did you know that there have been studies that have been made now that those who go to church and sing live longer? Rick Warren went to a psychologist, and the psychologist, and he was going there and he was dealing with depression. He went to psychologist, the psychologist asked him a question. Did you sing all the music last week in church? He said, no. And he said to him, you go back now and you sing 3 weeks. You sing every word for three weeks. Songs that you like, song that you don't like. When the music's too loud or the music's too soft, you sing every word 3 weeks and then you come back and talk to me. And he said, I never really understood what he was talking about till at that time. He said, then I read this report that came out of Switzerland. This doctor's report. And inside of that, the Swedish researchers find out something very interesting. They said they did an extensive study and they discovered that singing with other people lowers your blood pressure, releases endorphins, which makes you feel good, improves your mood, builds your confidence, relieves the loneliness, releases negative emotion and stress, and creates positive emotions. Another study said those who sing in worship every Sunday, they live longer. Boy, Heidi. Are you ready to sing? I know the church, that one of the churches that I pastored at a million years ago, a million miles away, most of the men sat on one side, most of the women sat on the other side. Most of the women sing and most of the men just sat there. And you say, why do women live longer? They were singing. They're happy. Well, maybe there's some other stuff to it too. I don't know. But this I do know. That if we want to experience release and happiness and live longer, let's sing, folks. That's the reason why when we come to church to celebrate, we celebrate the Father. So are you ready to come? 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 8 through 10 says, If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Whoa! That means each one of us in here, we've sinned. Each one of us in here, we've gotten away from the Father. And I don't know about you, but I do know about me. I know there's been times that I've been away from the Father and I wasted what He had given me. I did. I'd wasted time. I'd wasted talents. I'd wasted money. I got away from God and I wasted that. But then I start thinking, when I head back to the Father, you know what? I discovered this. The Father hadn't moved. Who moved? It's me. The Father hadn't sinned. Who sinned? It was me. The Father hadn't messed up. If I messed up, who messed up? It wasn't the Father. If I had some thoughts and I was confused, the Father was never confused. And if somebody comes home, guess who's there with their arms wide open? Father. Just as you are today, come home. Okay? Just as you are today, where you are, many people need to come home. God is a loving God. He will see you coming. He will go to you. He will throw His arms around you. He will put His robe around you. He will put His authority upon you. He'll put His shoes on you. He loves you just as you are. Now, when the song "Just As I Am" has been sung over the years, it's sung many different ways. This morning I want you to hear a man singing. I want you to hear a woman singing. I want you to settle down for a quiet time and just allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. And then I want you to join in with the choir in singing. Because you see, when we reach that point of coming home to the Father, we have to find our way back. When that young boy went back to his father, he probably stunk to the high heaven. He had no shoes. Probably smelt like the hogs. And the Father loved him just the way he was. This morning I'm going to ask you to come to Jesus. Just the way you are. Just the way you are. I'm going to ask many of you to say, okay, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to come home to the Father. That's all you're going to have to say. I want to come home to the Father. I want you to meet me down front and say, I want to come home to the Father. And I'm going to pray with you. Okay? Some of you need to get back to the Father. And these prayer altars are going to be open. They're going to be open for you. And now, why are the prayer altars so special? Listen, folks, there's something about just bending your knee before Him. It's just something about it. I don't know what it is. It's just something about it. So this morning, do you need to come back to the Father? Have you been away? Have you been away? Are you satisfied where you are? Don't have to be that way. Father's way. Let's stand together and pray. Father, as we come just the way we are, we're coming back to You with Your love, with Your righteousness, with Your security, with Your authority, with Your possessions, with Your home, with Your security, with Your peace. Father, we're coming back to You. Father, so many are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And so today, Lord, we want to come back to You, Father. In this hour, in this moment, in this time. So what I ask You, Holy Spirit, I ask You to help some people to think clear this morning. And help them to make that step back to the loving Father. This is the day. Now, Lord Jesus, just as I am, I come. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bids me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Thank you.
those came back. You know what they did? They had a party. And you know what? Behind the tears and behind the prayers and behind the hurting of the heart and the longing for God, now there's a time of celebration. And so today, now we celebrate Jesus. And I don't know of any way better to celebrate than to say Jesus three times. Are y'all ready? One, two, three. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the people said,
Amen.
God bless you.